Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Speak up.
Line drive to right field, and Freeman deposits this down the chalk into the right field corner. With two outs, the Dodgers cut the lead in half.
A properly managed team after the Freeman double has a reliever ready. There's the hook. So double, all right, it's 4-2. We still have the lead. Let's bring in a fresh arm. Let's get out of this intact. We'll lick our wounds, and it'll be 4-2, maybe 4-3. We're fine. Nothing. Trey Turner steals a base. The Max Muncy double. The Will Smith walk. Three more hitters after the Freeman double. And then when you listen to why Tony La Russa left him in, it's the opposite reason for why he issued the historic 1-2 intentional walk.
It's also his runs, his inning. There's some tough calls. That wasn't a tough call.
He doesn't know why he's doing things.
The Dan Bernstein Show.
Mario in Hyde Park.
Hey, buddy. I want to see more of it. That's the tip of the stupid iceberg, what he did yesterday. I think he's got more stupid in him. Let La Russa run. Don't stop it now. I want them to go full blast stupid.
On The Score.
Well, Mario got close to what he wanted, I guess. That was tough. That was tough. This is really tough. It's just the sour stomach feeling that we're getting from White Sox baseball right now is hard to, you can't really quantify it, and it's hard to categorize right now because it's a combination of dissatisfaction, disappointment, righteous anger, and helplessness that makes it this really disquieting place to be. And you could feel it in the crowd. There's a whole lot of fascinating psychology going on with some of these White Sox crowds right now. Big crowds! Big weekend crowds on gorgeous days! This should be the salad days of a baseball team. This weekend, these home day games against a beatable opponent, like a replacement level opponent. That park, the food there is amazing. Everything there is so great. The experience there, everything but your relationship with the team. That's what hurts so bad. And that's what underpins. Everyone's trying. We're trying to care about our team. They really...
I appreciate that.
You can feel it. You can feel it. That is palpable. This desire to have the bad and stupid end and just get not as bad and not as stupid. Give us something. Just give us something to hang our hat on. That crowd can't wait. Even my prediction of Jake Berger becoming a folk hero is starting to come into full effect until he kicks the ball somewhere. But there's a little bit of that. It's like, okay, now. All right, now. That 5-run lead, right? You're up 5-0. Okay, here we go. Win a series now. You get some bum opponents in here and start stacking some wins. You're only 4 games out in the loss column still, even though you're solidly in third place and only projected to win like 80 games or something like that now. But still, at some point, show that 83 record again. Don't show the 84 record, but show that 83 record again. It's just, let's get something started here. That crowd is ready for it. And I do think that there are times where a crowd in a building is not necessarily emblematic of the crowd writ large. This is one of those times where I really think that White Sox fandom at those games has been terrific and has been in the way they are when they're walking out, when they're booing, what they're saying. There is a connection right now between people like, you know, I got these tickets. This is a beautiful days in the middle of June. Should be the best time for a team that was supposed to win 95 games. This should be the best time. And the White Sox are ruining our good time. They're spoiling it. And we can have Jason Benetti and Steve Stone jousting with their churros all we want and having all these lovely times. And no, that's not a metaphor. And to have all of these the terrific times in the booth and the fabulous giveaways and food items and everything else that's going on at that park right now, which looks great and sounds great. But little things around the edges, little things are just, you can hear the grumbling. You can hear the harumphing. You can hear the moaning. You can feel the here we go again.
Yep.
When they tied it up at 6, you go down 6-3 because Ruiz gives up a bomb. And all of a sudden, oh, it's like, all right, great. It's 6-3, we're done. But you know what? They weren't done. And they rallied. And they rallied, and they were there. We were there. Everybody watching, everybody involved was still there, still here. And I know Steve Stone's trying his damnedest to get everybody rallied and everybody still feel good. It's so hard. It shouldn't be this hard to feel good about your team. But too many decisions have been made to make everything feel sour, and it sucks. It sucks. It sucks to root for a dumb team that loses dumb games in dumb ways. It stops being fun or funny after a while. And you're that 5-0 lead, and to have that squandered, like, all right, well, great, we'll get him tomorrow. And then Kopech, ow, he's out again. Great. And they did rally. And here comes Cueto, that dude, the indefatigable fat who can come in and throw you 5 innings, a 3-run ball, get you nearly a quality spot start, a de facto quality spot start almost for that guy. All right, I guess I'll pitch. Does like a Bartolo Colon and, you know, just gets out there and just starts hucking it. So give that guy his due. Give that guy his due. Say what you want about it. But that guy deserves a big hug from everybody for doing what he's doing. It's not great. Doesn't have a whole lot left. That's a guy balling. He said, ow, my leg, ow, my arm, ow, my this, ow, my that. He's probably hurting too. He gets out there and does that, and they tie it up, only to lose it again, and then make the final out for no good reason at third base. It sucks rooting for a dumb team. When you know for a fact that they are at a disadvantage to even a lesser opponent, because their manager's so overwhelmed all the time. It gets sad. It gets really sad. And I don't feel bad for Tony La Russa. And it's just, if I did actually think Tony La Russa was a more sympathetic figure, it would be a lot more sad than it is. I feel terrible for White Sox fans who were invested in a rebuild and watched all these trades get made and watch what they got in return for Eaton and for Sale and for everything that they did and say, hey, maybe this and maybe that. And now whatever the Kopech thing is, this, it's like Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood without the success. At least Pryor had the 18-6 year when he was getting everybody out. Kerry Wood brought a lot of joy for a while. This is like that without any of it. A little bit of a tease here, and like, well, he had this much rest or too much rest or trust his stuff or didn't trust his stuff. It's not supposed to be like this. It's not supposed to be like this. Not right now. And this Sports City's got nothing. Sports City's got nothing. It was supposed to be, the White Sox were it. The White Sox were this year, these projections, this team, young players under contract. And I know the injuries are part of it. But don't look now. Look at Danny Mendick's number since Tim Anderson went out. Look at that. You don't give me Tim Anderson's injury right now. since Tim Anderson's gone out, and this is Patrick Nolan from Sox Machine, since the injury, Mendick slashing .326, .354, .478. 48 plate appearances, only struck out 5 times. So don't give me Tim Anderson's injury right now. Mendick's playing way over his head. Help keep you above water and help keep you in some of this stuff. Sorry. It's just, it's not supposed to work like this, and it's not fair. And to hear the reactions of the crowd and the way it kind of seeps into stuff and it seeps into the broadcast, although I'm getting a little more worried that the broadcast is going to filter out some of that. How about NBC Sports Chicago in their replay of the Thursday game removing the 1-2 intentional walk and the ensuing reactions? Flat removing it. Flat taking it out. That's Soviet stuff.
They yada, 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 the biggest moment of the game.
And a memorable moment of the Tony La Russa experience, all-timer. You don't do that. You don't do that. And these things, the recovery takes time, just as Marquis is going to take time recovering from their misstep of editing out their sports writer show. And saying, well, it's someone who was a lower-level employee who made a decision, and now we know better, and we're going to make up for it. And you can do all the right things after. But it doesn't change the environment that allowed that to happen. It doesn't change that environment. And that's really rankled me, the fact that NBC Sports Chicago did that. Really rankled me. They said, well, just take it out like it never happened. Come on. You know better. You think people aren't going to notice? Whoever makes that decision and whoever gets that decision approved, time constraints my ass. I don't know what you think you're going to accomplish by doing that, but the environment that allowed someone to do that and think that was okay is a little scary, because you wonder, what else haven't we seen? What else have we been told that maybe hasn't been properly represented that is being hidden from us? If that would be attempted to be hidden, just take it out, because people won't remember that it happened. We're all watching. We're all seeing it. We're all experiencing it together. And the feelings right now, the emotions of going through this disappointment are palpable. They're palpable for everyone who's in the park, wherever we're watching, however we're looking at the body language of the post-game show. We're going to get into some. We have a ton of sound to get to, hearing from the people involved, hearing from the people who have opinions on it for a living. We're going to get to all of it. And we're also going to talk to Ian Happ next about the Cubs and their weekend of misfortune and his ongoing success. Ian Happ almost hit for the cycle yesterday. He's playing great. His team is not. We'll talk about all of it next on The Score.
Ian Happ now.
Ian Happ, outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
Happ leaps and makes the catch along the indentation of the wall.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
I did not sleep last night. If I go over there and ask you to turn it down, and you don't turn it down,
you're going to see angry Ian too. That's not good.
I'll start breaking down doors.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Get out the tape measure, long gone. One of the longest home runs Happ has ever hit to right field in this ballpark, bar none.
Ian Happ with Dan Bernstein, middays on 670 The Score.
We always like talking baseball and more with Ian Happ, who is kind enough to join us Mondays at this time as he does now. Ian is on Twitter at IanHapp_1, the Cubs outfielder and the lead host of the Compound Podcast. Joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Welcome back, Ian. That was a hell of a trip to New York.
It was quite a road trip.
What do we make of that? Of the disparity between these teams right now? It's hard to have a positive dugout environment when that's all going on right in front of you.
Yeah, it was a really good first game. You know, we go really deep into that first game and kind of run through a bunch of pitching and end up in a situation where we just kind of let the next two games get away from us. But, you know, that's what happens when you go in and play a really, really good team, give them too many chances, you know, can't close the door on one game. And then they get
They are kind of a total package right now. You know, the guys, they're pitching it really well. And the offense just keeps adding on. They do a really good job of coming back when you score a run and putting the pressure on, and then continuing to just expand on that lead.
There's so much pressure on, and it's their takes. It's what they do to make certain sequences set up other sequences. How, it's a weird question, but how far away are the Cubs from that? Like, this is going to take time, and I know these are these are big questions, but how do we go from here to there?
Yeah. It's a different group that they have. You know, they have a bunch of guys who've been around a long time. All their pieces are kind of fitting together well. You know, that's a team that's they made the playoff for the last 5 years, I think. And they really added some pieces this year specifically. Not only from the pitching side, you know, their rotation's been awesome. Bullpen's been really good over there, but they've, you know, with Riz and defense, a couple of the defensive first catchers, you know, their shortstop's a Gold Glover, and they're kind of putting that all together where they're the total package right now. You know, they're swinging it, but they're playing great defense and they're pitching, and kind of, I think that combination of great pitching, great defense, allows your offense to really, really succeed. I think you saw that with the really good Cubs team. You saw that with the 15, 16, 17 team. You know, we had unbelievable starting pitching that kind of gave us a chance to let the offense add on, and get to a place where you feel like you're winning a lot of baseball games.
What kind of perspective has Rizzo given you on his experience there?
I mean, it was great to hang out with him and see him. You know, obviously everybody's having a good time when I think they've only lost 15 games or something like that. You know, he loves it in the city. He had a great time there last year, and being able to kind of run it back with that group and have the success they're having, you know, he's obviously really enjoying it. So it was great to see him and just be able to spend some time together. I hadn't seen him since kind of some of those meetings in the winter right before the lockout ended. So it was nice to get some time with him.
Meanwhile, you're playing great. You got a WRC plus, a 134, you know, positive numbers for all three aspects of Fangraph's WAR calculation, a walk rate of 14.3% and a strikeout rate of just 19.6. What's the psychology of an individual playing really well while a team isn't?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're in the midst of it, you know, not winning it stinks, you know, it's not fun. But you have to be really positive about your teammates, about good individual performances. You know, we have guys that are doing really good things, you know, and that's kind of what happens in the midst of a baseball season. It takes everybody. But you can have guys who are doing really great stuff. You know, Nico Horner's having a really great season. He looks awesome defensively. He's been swinging it really well. Wilson Contreras, he's got to be the starting catcher in the All-Star game, right? He's been unbelievable. Frank's last few weeks have been really, really good. I think some of the stuff Wisdom's been doing has been great. Like, you have to take those small wins. You have to take what guys are doing really well and really enjoy that and harp on that, because those are the things, you know, at any point a team can go out and roll off five wins and get themselves into a place where you feel like you're competing. And so that's kind of, you have to harp on those good things and stay positive throughout this really long season. We have 100 plus games left.
At any point, has David Ross asked you about the possibility of being a position player, pitcher in an emergency?
No.
You thought about it. So, because I'm wondering if called upon, have you ever volunteered? Have you ever said, you know, if you ever need somebody that you could do your best Scott F. Ross impersonation just as a bit?
Yeah. In 2018, I pitched. I was way into it. I was super excited. I ran into the tunnel. My brother was in Chicago at the time, and I texted him and said, "Get to the field. I'm going to pitch." And I threw. And put up a scoreless inning. So now I'm kind of like, all right, I'll I'll kind of sit on that for a while until I feel comfortable enough to go back out there. I'm also coming off a elbow procedure.
Right, that's true. I forgot about that.
So we're not pushing anything over here.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I think it's super selfish to sit on your own stats like that. You know, Ted Williams was batting 400, and they were going to sit him out the last game, and he played, and he ended up at 406. See? So you and your zero ERA, and, you know, you got to protect that. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you surprised that Clint Frazier got DFA'd?
Yeah, I think it was, it's just a situation the way the roster lined up. Some of those things are so difficult, and you get in a spot where you need to get guys, especially pitchers, you need to get some guys back into the active roster, and you just don't have that many options. I think that's one of the things with the 40-man, with having some guys that are younger on the 40-man that you're protecting from the Rule 5 draft that aren't the big leagues yet, and then you get in a spot where you just don't have a lot of options. So, I think a lot of us on the team were surprised, but, you know, that's something that it's a part of the game, and he's going to get an opportunity to go play somewhere else and hopefully get a really good chance for a bet.
It was also reinforced that Jason Hayward, despite not producing real well at the plate, is a significant presence on the team, and that there are still positives with his leadership, his gravity. How is that being felt?
I mean, Jay's always been a huge leader on this team, somebody who all the guys look up to for who he is and what he brings to our organization. And, he's finally back being able to be healthy and get himself in a little bit of a rhythm now. So I'm excited to be able to go watch him play and what he brings to us in right field and that presence, that knowledge of the game is so crucial for us.
I don't know how closely you've been watching what's been happening in golf, but I know you're a big golfer and a big fan, and you are friendly with some folks on the PGA Tour. But just watching yesterday, watching Justin Rose flirt with a 59 that he probably should have had, if you could ever say that, and then hearing Rory McIlroy after the game taking not-so-subtle digs directly at Greg Norman and seeing what's happening with the LIV Tour, your experience, Ian, you're not far removed from high-level pro sports negotiations about millions and millions of dollars as a player rep being involved with a collective bargaining agreement. Where do you sit on the way the PGA is handling this, what I'm calling the bone saw tour, and to see all this, the guys going after blood money this quickly and this unapologetically?
Yeah, I think it's a tough spot for the PGA Tour, for those players. I think what we've seen in other leagues is when you separate the best players in the world and you don't put them all in the same place, it becomes a different product. And that's, I really hope for golf and for the PGA Tour, that all of, that these guys that are still there that are such great players get the attention that they deserve, the viewership that they deserve. I think that this weekend, the caliber of golf that you were able to see, that final group that went out there with JT and Rory, and I think Finau was in the final group too, and that was really, really good for the game. So I'm super happy with the timing of that was able to happen. And, I just hope that those guys get every opportunity for viewership and for support, because they're all doing it the right way.
Yeah, it's interesting for people who really are fans of the game to see how easily some players are simply willing to divide this and willing to break away for the check. And then, Jay Monahan has to say, no one ever has been asked to apologize or to justify, to mitigate, to apologize for being a PGA player. And these other players don't seem bothered and or aware of for what they would have to apologize for taking this Saudi money. And that's what's strange to me. I don't know who's playing dumb, or I don't know who, at least we know Phil Mickelson isn't playing dumb. He knows it's bad and doesn't care.
I'm very glad that it's not an issue that we have in our sport. Very glad that's not something that we're dealing with.
Yeah, because well, we say everybody's got a number, right? Coming home to face, I'm looking at this saying, okay, everything can settle in. The team can feel better a little bit because you're going to be home. And who are you facing tonight? It's Yu Darvish.
Yeah, it'll be cool. I think this is the first time he's pitched back at Wrigley, right? I think we missed him last year here. I think we saw him at their place, but it'll be cool to have him back. You know, it's always great when you have former teammates that you really enjoyed playing with and be able to say hi and know that he really loved the city of Chicago. You know, it's going to be, they're a good team. They've played really well. And so it's going to be a good challenge for us. I think, you know, we have, it's one of those bits in the schedule where you catch a couple really good teams in a row, and that's, this league doesn't stop, you know, it doesn't let up. There's good teams all throughout, and that's kind of the challenge of, all right, that was a tough series, let's go pick back up and see if we can take, I think we have four games, see if we can split this one, take three or four, and keep rolling.
Anybody who is in and around Wrigley Field knows you got Dom's Market up near Diversey and Halstead. If there's Foxtrot now, all featuring the Connect Roasters products. Some Dinger Dollars yesterday. What else is going on in your corporate / charitable world?
Yeah, Dinger Dollars. We got a lot of exciting stuff with the Home Run Club. We just did our monthly release at the beginning of the month where people get some batting gloves, some merch that they can bid on if they're in the club. That was really cool. And we're really excited for some good weather at Wrigley and to see people rocking the cold brew from Foxtrot right on the corner there of Clark and Waveland. So can't wait to see everybody out there this week.
Keep up your good play, and here's to your team following.
Thanks.
That is Ian Happ, who is kind enough to join us each week on Sports Radio 670. And we come back. We got a lot going on regarding the White Sox and people talking and figuring this out. We need to talk through our pain here because it is these are difficult times with the relative expectations that we've had and the underperformance. I want to set some of the hard numbers here. What Baseball Prospectus is saying, calculating with their Monte Carlo simulations, and what Fangraphs is doing, and that is going to lead us into the White Sox and their own words on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.